If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone, welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. Round 12 done and dusted. We're through all the extra Monday games. We're about to hit the Thursday games and the bye coming up.
I hate the byes.
And that is the voice, the grumbling voice of... He shouldn't be grumbling though, because the Tigers had a massive win on the weekend. They beat the Gold Coast Sun.
What a win.
Mick Warner is back.
G'day, Hutto, and we've lost Sammy Edmonds.
Well, it's not, the Carlton run has come to an end, and it's obviously too much for him.
He got locked out of Etihad Stadium. He couldn't get into the game like all those other Blues fans, and so we've brought in the great man.
John Anderson is back with us. Cats have refound their form. We've refound Ando. Welcome, mate.
G'day, Hutto. G'day, Mick.
Go Dangerfield.
That's my second name. I was Jonathan Bruce Anderson. I was christened. It's now Jonathan Dangerfield Anderson.
Well, Chris Scott said, Ando, it was the... He was asked, can you remember a better individual game? Can you remember a better individual game?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I only say that. I mean, I loved every minute of it, but I've seen games where people have perhaps had more effect on the scoreboard as well as been really dominant in other areas of the ground. So that's the only thing about Patrick Dangerfield you could be remotely critical of.
He kicked a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, he kicked pretty well over the night, but I don't think he's an elite kick of the game.
But in terms of a game just being dominated by one guy, can you think of any? One for me is Paul Lecuria in the 2002 qualifying final.
Gary Ablett, the 89 grand finals, the best individual game I've seen, given the enormity of the occasion.
Right.
So where it was, how he did it. He was so far above anybody else in a grand final that might be the greatest grand final we've seen. So it's a hard measuring stick, but Gazza's number one for me.
Do you ever look beyond Geelong, though, Ando? Or
are there other sides in the competition? I didn't mind Dustin Martin, but we'll talk about him later on.
That was a good game, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was a ripper game, Dustin Martin. His influence, it's all about explosion in footballers, isn't it? If you get that explosive factor, you have a big chance.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, lots happening. I think injuries are... probably just from a pure news story point of view, the impact of injury is going to be massive right through to the end of the year. And I think it could become a debate again about the rotations. I know, speaking to a couple of people in footy, they believe the rotation restrictions has impacted the injuries. So we won't know till the end of the year, of course, when they do those magical injury counts.
How is it done?
Which I've always been mystified about, to be honest. The numbers always seem to go down. I'm like, why do we have any injuries left?
So the injuries we had in the weekend, Swallow, concussion. Nothing to do with that.
No.
Dalhouse, an errant kick from a teammate, nothing to do with that. Cunnington, a cork from a Geelong opponent, nothing to do with that.
Nah.
The major injuries I'm thinking about from the weekend had nothing to do with players being on the ground for longer.
Yeah.
No, but it would be good to reduce them even further to really annoy those coaches and go down to 60 or 50.
I'm for that.
Yeah.
Somebody was talking about that on the weekend and highlight it just because you're getting everyone, and I speak to probably more older footballers than you two that do, just through the nature of my job. Every one of them says 2016 has been a breath of fresh air because the game has been more one-on-one,
totally agree,
more open, and that surely that has to be good.
Yeah, I know. I think it has. I hope it continues for the rest of the year. I think we're going to have some pretty ordinary games. We're already getting them. But the good ones are going to be terrific. And we saw a good one on Saturday. The Bulldogs-Port Adelaide game, that was one of the best of the year.
Yeah, I love that game. And I'd love to see the fact they lost another really influential player in Luke Dalhouse. Already had Easton Wood out before the game, and Marcus Adams didn't come up. In a warm-up, wasn't he injured, I think? And then you've got Johannesson out of the side, obviously Robert Murphy out of the side. And for them to go over there and win against a side that is on the cusp, I would have thought, of regaining
some of course, grief, Port, for the rest of the year against a lot of top eight sides, I imagine.
Well, the news story, no doubt, is Colin. But before we get to I want to go with the very early, is it just me? It's totally out of order. But is it just me, or is it the best top eight we've ever had?
I think it is.
Yeah, well, if Adelaide's seventh on the ladder, and they would be a genuine premiership threat. because they don't have a lot of obvious weaknesses, do they, Adelaide? Given Crouch and Lyons and Sloan in the midfield and Thompson, Lever and Taylor up back, and then obviously the forward line, which is probably the best in the competition. So they're seventh. West Coast are eighth.
And have lost Nick Nat now looking ordinary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Goss has gone off the Eagles for sure. But their draw is favourable, Hutto, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. It enables them to still be a most logical team to make the eight. But
so you've ruled them out. You reckon there's seven left in it?
2 weeks ago, I thought the Eagles were going to be a danger to make the grand final. I didn't think they were good enough to win the flag, but I thought just if they'd been able to keep winning at home and the way that the other teams were going to drop matches along the way, that they would end up probably with a home final and be every chance of making it. But now, I've always had my doubts about them as a team, but now I can't see them without Nick Nat.
Midfield.
They're midfield, yeah.
Midfield's not good enough.
Do you think they just stole a march last year? Just everything fell into place. They used the tactical advantage that they got with the web, and it was just one of those years. Or
they're a pretty good side list, aren't they?
Well, they're good demographics. Like they've got a lot of players in that sweet spot. Yeah.
But it happens with teams, doesn't it? You saw Port Adelaide under Ken Hinckley had a dramatic rise and a dramatic fall off.
They work.
You
out,
saw Adelaide under Brett and Sanderson get to within a kick of a grand final and have a dramatic fall off. I mean, sides do catch other teams by surprise.
Yeah, that's true.
And then fall off just as quickly.
Well, on the injuries, do you give Collingwood an out? And because they have had no Swan. And who was Elliot for the whole year, and then in the last few weeks they've lost
Fasolo, Moore. They had medium players out as well, like Langdon. I give them a bit of an out, but if they keep turning up like that and uncompetitive efforts, worse against Port than they were against Melbourne. But you just wonder how long you can survive.
Look, you have to put the cap on and think of as your own side. How would you be? I'm Geelong supporter. So if Geelong had lost players of that capability, I'd be bleeding about it and going on and on. So it's massive. Absolutely
the
massive.
Injuries.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. That can't be ignored. But you've got players running around in the VFL who are premiership players, such as Nathan Brown or Brent McCaffer, Tyson Golsack, Travis Cloak, obviously. What's happened to Alan Turvey? What's happened to those players? There's five. If you've got players playing for other clubs, such as Heath Shaw, Paul Seedsman, Dane Beams, obviously injured, but they're... O'Brien and Dawes are handy. Lumumba and Dawes are handy for Melbourne when they're playing. Willingham for West Coast Eagles. Ziegler at Hawthorne. Ziegler's a chance to play in the Premiership this year. That's a lot of players who have gone who are handy to good at other teams.
The mood on the street, I reckon, Collingwood people you speak to, is they've just about had enough of the coach. Now, I know that most people will say that regardless of what happens this year, they'll stick with him because of his relationship with Maguire, but... There's, you know, you do the talkback calls, Hutto. They're lining up.
They lined up last night. And it was predictable that they would, but it's actually, you know, it's hard to argue against them in some ways.
I don't know if it's predictable, though, because he's a favourite son.
That's got nothing to do with it, though.
James Hurd
was a favourite son, or Michael Voss was a
favourite
son.
Took them a while to turn on Hurd as well, but
once they did. Didn't take long on Vossie, they went quickly, didn't they?
It's a good reason to not appoint a favourite son.
Yeah.
Makes it harder to make decisions about them, one way or the other.
It'll never happen again anyway. We know that, because now you go through a proper process.
I've seen some favourite sons be bitter fallouts.
Yep.
KB at Richmond.
Yeah,
Wayne, that was
Wayne Shimmerbush. Wayne Shimmerbush at North. I mean,
it's only 17 or 18.
I don't
years
know if Shimmer goes back to North much,
no.
If at all. He may well, but
I've got a theory that your assistant coach Simon Lloyd might be the next senior coach in waiting.
Hasn't done himself any harm. The Geelong reps on him are really good.
And I think it's all because of what you're just saying there is forget the Messiah. It's now all about who's the guy that understands the game plan to the point like Bolton does.
Well, it's not just the game plan, is it? It's the club plan, really.
Yeah,
it's
correct.
Being able to and Simon Lloyd's a very impressive, intelligent guy, and I think Bolton's success wouldn't hurt.
But
someone like
interestingly,
that.
Simon Lloyd, when he interviewed for Carlton last year, didn't interview overly well.
No.
So right? Bolton did.
Did he get to Barker the final did, three,
but
Lloyd, though?
I think, I'm going to think three or four for Simon. Yeah. But he'll learn from
he'll
that,
learn,
as
yeah.
Alan Richardson learned, as Damien Hardwick learned, as Ken Hinckley learned. All those blokes had two or three goes.
Brian Royal mustn't have ever learned.
Brian Royal could have been a good coach.
He could have been. Nah.
Do you know if Hardwick's laptop had worked that day, the Essendon supplement saga would never have happened.
Yeah.
So,
Just on the while we're on the Pies, I'm getting my two efforts of my segments both out of the way. But for an ultimate Beacon rewind, it was interesting.
Ooh.
listening to Roosie, we interviewed Roosie in the coach's box on Friday night, and look, we all know this, but he doesn't believe in rebuilds. And he was talking about it, just saying, well, it's just a matter of getting to the end of the year, looking at your list, seeing how you can improve it.
Yeah, well, it's worked for 120 years, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then rebuilds have only been in the last, 15 years?
So what's Melbourne done? Have I missed something here?
Well,
Melbourne weren't going all that well. They're improving. They've come from
a
very low
base. Inherited the rebuild, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he...
Or is he rebuilt?
Well, I'm looking at a number of boys who played yesterday who are new players have been the last two years. There's probably 8 or 9 of them. Isn't that part of a rebuild?
Well, it is, but it's a decision... I guess you talk about it with Richmond. Like,
the St Kilda model, maybe.
Well, yeah, the St Kilda model. Like Richmond, you talk about, do you trade De Lidia? St Kilda's case, Goddard and Del Santo and going down that path.
Yeah.
Versus just getting, and, you know, I think Carlton have mounted a pretty good case. They've actually got rid of some okay players, or some okay to average players. They didn't get rid of their best players, but they were able to get those like Kerridge and Wright and those sort of things. And still get some picks in for so they've been rebuilding Carlton, but it's just interesting. I wanted to refer it to Collingwood though. If Bucks had his time again, and we know there was reasons other than the football ability that he wanted to get rid of a lot of those players that you talked about.
But that's the problem. Those other reasons. That was a mistake. Cultural, was it? Getting rid of the Rat Pack.
It depends how you term it. I mean, rebuilding. So you've got an established building and you're going and you're doing something to it. Well, Nathan Buckley's done that with the Collingwood list.
He has
in an enormous way.
Yeah.
Paul Roos has done that with the Melbourne list.
But he didn't get rid of anything, did he? I mean,
he inherited the Neild's mess, didn't he?
Yeah, there's a few players that he's made calls on that haven't played much football in his time.
Right.
They brought in players from other clubs specifically for roles such as Bernie Vince or Thomas Bug, Dom Tyson. A number of those type of players.
I guess it's an acceptance that you have to go down to go up again.
That's a good point.
But they were down already, weren't they?
They were down already, so they were in a position where the only way was up, I suppose.
And KB makes the point, you never trade out. Like, if Richmond are thinking of getting rid of those 5 guns that they've got, they'd be crazy. Because even if you got 2 first-rounders, they're
you're
no guarantee.
That's true, but St Kilda got, as I said, Goddard and Del Santo, now, would they be better off, those two blokes still running around?
No.
I would say no.
No.
Tom, they haven't got all their picks
right,
but they're older.
Tom Hickey has been a good pick for them.
He's come good.
Tom Lee, it hasn't worked out, but if they'd been able to nail some of those earlier picks better, they'd be in a better place. But it's just interesting, because, I mean, look at Heath Shaw as the obvious one, isn't he? I mean, he is playing.
That's a disaster.
He's just playing, he's a top 10 player in the competition right now.
So why is he not at Collingwood?
Well,
they didn't like
him. They didn't want him to be there.
Who's they?
Buckley.
The coach didn't like him. Why didn't he like Heath Shaw? Who was immensely popular at Collingwood beforehand in premiership year, who was immensely popular at GWS now and is seen as an immensely influential figure on boys such as Wilson, Williams, Haynes, Bunteen, all that young group. He's at one end of the ground. The other guy is Steve Johnson teaching Toby Green how to play half forward. How's Toby Green going on the forward line?
Pretty handy.
And he will say Steve Johnson's the catalyst for that. So Heath Shaw has been massive for GWS.
No, Tim Watson said this morning Buckley would be waking up in a cold sweat thinking about Heath Shaw.
Tom Langdon, Scherenberg, unfortunately, not playing. Oxley, that type of player, Marley Williams, they should be learning from Heath Shaw.
Yep.
Marley Williams can be a good footballer. Based on yesterday, he's got a lot of work to do.
Speaking of guys who come from that, now Max Gawn, how good is this player? I thought he was no good 2 years ago, but he's now probably the best. Has he gone past Goldstein?
At the moment, because Goldie's a little bit hurt, I think. But
he's
unbelievable. I mean, I said yesterday during the call, if you're a young Melbourne supporter coming now, who would you make your favourite player?
Oh, him.
So you've got him as the best ruckman in the competition.
I have. I wouldn't
have him in the top 2 or 3 right now. You're based in LA.
You've got Sean Hampson, obviously.
I'd have. Sean Hampson's been solid.
Zach Smith,
I'd pick Shane Mumford every day of the week. Mumford number one, clearly.
Vardy.
Because he's the most influential player in that position in the competition. That and
I only go by Supercoach points.
Who would you... Ando's given his view. Who would you take right now, Gawn or Mumford, for the rest of the year?
Gawn.
Mumford hurts more people.
I like that about him. But Gawn's kicked, he had 27 disposals as well as he's dominated the team.
Playing
3
on
goals.
Playing on who?
3 ruckmen.
The 3-prong attack.
let's talk about, we'll come back to Gawn. Let's talk about that. I know everyone has endlessly, but talk about to selection. Me, stupidity in over the last
Be
couple of weeks.
Be kind, rewind.
Well, I mean, it's obvious because everyone's
I'll
said
go, it. I'll get mine out of the way. Yeah, Collingwood selection, Be Kind, Rewind. Who they had the four, who were the four, Hutto? Wits.
Yeah. Wits, White.
White.
Mason Cox. Mason Brody Cox, Grundy.
And Ben Grundy. Grundy's stagnated a bit, hasn't he?
He wasn't, terrible, but he's just not a great player.
He's had an okay year.
He's a crack.
Yeah,
he can be a good player, but he's not a great player.
No, he's one of those rare ruckmen that came in as a 19-year-old and looked really good straight away.
Then,
and he has a crack, Grundy. I like that in him.
Yeah.
But he needs a helping hand, and Witts was meant to be that person. Well, Jared Witts is never going to be a forward line option.
No.
He might take one mark. He'll probably miss the goal. That's not necessarily what you want.
But how many times do we have to see this? If you've got two ruckmen that are basically ruckmen, you actually hurt both of them. If you play them together, you hurt both of them. Instead of one player being a good player for 80% of the game and you've got to just ride that other 20% out, well, you actually neither of them play well. Neither of them do well.
That's Magic Door. Magic Door can be a good player for North if allowed to ruck for three quarters of the game. If he has to play as a forward,
he can't get into the game, can you?
Well, Jack Watts took a couple of centre bounces yesterday. I mean, we've seen with Port Adelaide, you don't actually have to have a good... As long as the midfielder's mindset changes when you've got an average ruckman in there, you can still win the clearances or break even.
If you get that player who can be... He can be gold. If it's Lee Brown in 2010 who can play forward, then go under the ball for a quarter.
Yep.
It was Jared Ruffield for the last 3 years, 4 years. They are absolute gold, that type of player.
Yeah, I mean, Hale was a rare one who could genuinely... I think didn't lose much.
Hale was excellent. I think Geelong feel they probably got that with Mitch Clark if they ever get him right.
Mm.
That's the type of player you're looking for.
Yeah, we forgot Mitch when we were talking about the top five ruckman in the conference.
No, I wasn't. I'm talking about a pinch hitter, Hutto. But I can talk about... I've mentioned other players other than Geelong.
Trent West has just slipped out in the last couple of years.
Ramsey Begonovic.
And the other bloke was... There's always a moment when I look at a young kid and think, yeah, he's definitely a gun. And when Petrarca spun out of that, two missed tackles and kicked the goal, I thought,
that's my big line, rewind.
Sorry, mate.
And I just throw this up. No, that's fine. If St Kilda had their time over, would they choose Paddy McCartan with number one or Christian Petrarca? Given they had Petrarca on their books for a long time leading up to it and then thought McCartan offers you a totally... And I like McCartan as a player.
I think McCartan's developed well this year.
Yep.
They probably didn't know they were going to. Bruce and Membry were going to come.
Who do you think's the better footballer?
I think probably Petrarca, from what
but
we've seen.
Different style of player. Yeah. You can't go full. Well, in fact, Petrarca probably could go forward like Dustin Martin in time.
There's something special about that. Yeah. And he knows it too.
Yeah, I like that about him.
Yeah.
And everyone knew it in the under 18s. So I talked about explosion before. Dangerfield has that explosive presence. Dustin Martin is an explosive footballer. Petrarca is an explosive player.
I don't think he's got. I'm not sure if he's got the pace of those other two, has he? But I think you're right. He's still explosive and brilliant. You know, in the way he can. But it'll be interesting to see what sort of player whether he's a out and out mid or.
He's a forward. Mid forward. Yeah, he kicks goals.
Yeah,
he's always been a forward more of a forward who goes into the mid in under 18s footy.
But suddenly Simon Goodwin's thinking, okay, this is starting to turn from a Mazda into some sort of European car. Ferrari, perhaps.
I think the best thing for Goody is if they don't make the 8-2, because that just gives him a little
another draft
next year.
Pick,
not so much the draft pick, but just
take the expectations
off, and they can move into the 8 nicely next year. Now, GWS.
Ooh. Frankenstein.
Well, we talked about how strong the top 8 is, and they'd run from here. And they've had this month where I think we sort of talked about if they could win 2 out of the 4, they'd be really well placed for a top 2, top 4 finish, and they've done that. They beat the Dogs.
Lost in Adelaide, no disgrace, although they're probably beaten by more than the scoreboard said. They
probably,
were five
but
goals
they
down and the game was hot.
They'd come off a 6-day break when they played a game where they'd had two players get injured, so they'd done more in the rotations.
Lost in Geelong, where I thought they were completely beaten, but the scoreboard didn't say it. They kicked 14-4.
And the weather,
46.
The weather, I think Geelong were pretty happy with the weather 14-4. That night.
So it helped Geelong for sure.
So it probably didn't.
The weekend, probably Sydney's most influential player in terms of where he plays went off the ground in Kurt Tippett. They mounted the comeback. They got within 3 and a bit goals in the third quarter.
They did, yeah.
Tippett's on the ground.
Maybe.
I'm not
they were a bit down as well.
Oh, they were well down the Sydney players. Yeah. And that just showed because Kennedy lifted.
Yeah, Hanbury.
Hanbury started to lift. Buddy started to get going. So they were a threat for a little while, but they were quickly snuffed out, and they got past the distraction of the $100,000 man at 3 time as well. Talk about a tyre kicker.
He didn't even look like he had a particularly good start.
No, he's not. He hasn't never played played AFL, he said. Yeah, okay. He had a kick, he played kick to kick or whatever, but never played AFL.
Good on him.
Yeah.
But it was quite a distraction at three-quarter time. I've never heard a bigger roar of the crowd at Spotless than that.
Well, they sold it out.
Yeah.
That was a good
They sold it out, but there was empty seats.
Oh, right. They were at the bar.
No, it was... Well, I'm trying to actually... Do we know what the actual capacity is?
20-something, 22-ish.
Yeah, it was 21, wasn't it?
21 there. But okay. I can tell you there was probably 3,000 or 4,000 empty seats. But you couldn't get a ticket, so I think it was sold out.
The crowd noise-wise, predominantly one side?
Well, no, I'd say there would have been more Swans fans there than Giants. Right. But when that bloke kicked the goal in the tyres, everyone was cheering.
Well, that's what they understand probably more than anything else. Yeah. The game's a bit foreign to a few of them still.
Have you guys embraced the Giants? Like, you know, there's some teams, like I used to love watching Geelong play in Brisbane. Can't stand Hawthorn. But I like
Sydney in the late 80s and
the Giants.
I don't like the Giants jumper particularly. I don't like the colours of it. And that sounds funny, but... When the Brisbane Bears started, I hated their jumper.
Yeah, that made it hard.
Just made them look puerile.
Couldn't take them seriously, could you?
They couldn't. And but I mean, the Giants jumper is better than that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad jumper, but it's never grabbed me. Mm. And that's part of it. The visual part of it is important.
Their
football,
song.
I love.
I like the song.
I love their football.
So you do love. Oh, you'd be happy to see them win the grand final.
I mean, I'd much rather Geelong. The Bulldogs.
Yeah,
on the grand final than GWS because
I don't want them to win the next four.
No, and the kids they're getting.
Yeah,
just even this year's draft. You look at the top 10 right now. Three of them are academies for GWS. So the academy situation is scary, and that's why I agree with the Collingwood president on that one.
Yeah.
Have you got any? Is it just me, Mick, there?
I had the Simon Lloyd as the.
Okay.
I think Dusty in the Brownlow betting, he's way too deep.
Oh, he's way too deep because one bloke's $2.50.
Is
one bloke's throttling the market.
He had 21 votes last year, Dustin Martin, and a more inferior season.
I don't think he's had two really big games and one other.
They haven't won.
I mean, I know because I've actually backed
him.
Remember
the year Stevie J got
24
votes?
Yeah.
He's had a better year than that.
They probably won.
Is that someone else remembers that because he had a bet, didn't he, that he wouldn't do well in the Brownlow medal? Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
On the coaster? That was a ripper story.
Do you think Dangerfield should be as short as what he is?
No.
Not with... Oh, actually, I quite like them being called Dangerwood. I thought that was
nice... Yeah, it was. The old Hollywood sort of combination.
I think Dangerwood's taking votes off Dangerwood.
Six. I reckon Danger could have around 17, 18 votes.
He does poll exceptionally well, though, doesn't he? Like, he just has to turn up to get one, generally, in the past.
Yeah.
He had that pretty average year at Adelaide 2 years ago.
Massive publicity. Massive publicity and spotlight on him this year because of the transfer. So that which helps the umpires, I think, in terms of recognising...
There's not many, apart from Selwood taking votes away.
Guthrie, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was interested to hear Chris Scott say Guthrie'd be in his All-Australian side.
Yeah. I love it when you hear coaches say that. It's amazing the things they think about. You think, just concentrate.
Well, I think there's a meeting this Thursday, or was it last Thursday?
Yeah, they do ask the clubs for who should be in the All-Australian team. Yeah, they do.
Is it just me, or is the statistic saying inside 50 completely and utterly irrelevant? I don't even know why we talk about it.
Mm.
Well, seriously, you do need to get it inside 50 at some stage.
Well, inside. So Collingwood had more inside 50s yesterday than Melbourne.
Yeah.
I think one thing you need to know with the inside 50 is how many repeat inside 50s there are. So you need to know whether it's gone in and come out fully and then come back again. Because the game is set up with
clubs
the press,
like
it comes out, comes back in.
Deep 30s is what they do. Yeah. A lot of the clubs, the stats they want at quarter time, half time is inside 30.
Oh, we won inside 50s. We won contested possession. So what? We had more tackles.
But you're going to do Sam Edmund out of a job if you keep talking down the stats.
The field marshal. There's three scenarios, Michael, in football.
We've got it. They've got it. It's in dispute.
And if it's in dispute, we've got to get it and then use it intelligently. It's who makes the best decisions when they've got the ball that wins football games, Mick.
All right.
That's all that matters.
What was the one about sausages?
Oh, that was Alan James.
Wait, what did he say?
You can fry them, you can grill them, you can steam them.
But they're still sausages.
Yeah.
I'm getting hungry just kind of.
What was the one, though, when a few boys got arrested in Hawaii?
They said, he came in and said, I don't mind what you do with the other ones, but just don't shoot the fat one.
That was dung off. Yeah.
Interested in your read on Saturday night on the Geelong North game. Do you think how
we're going
big
back to that game? Are we?
Well, we haven't really talked about it yet. Oh. How big a factor was the North injuries?
Massive.
Yeah,
of course it was. Swallows,
the
their
spectacle,
their leader, And he's a very influential leader.
Yep.
Andrew Spiller. The players love him and they follow him. He's their best tackler, one of the best tacklers
in the AFL.
Probably the best tackler in the AFL. Off the ground before quarter time. Ben Cunnington, probably their best clearance person.
Yep.
I just said clearances don't matter, but he gets it and uses it well. He's effectively out of the game before quarter time. And Dale Sando was restricted, so.
And they stayed in the game, didn't they, for a long time?
I think if those three stay fit, it's an even game.
Would you bulldoze Etihad Stadium, given that he hit his head and knocked himself out, and then your boy Menzel almost did another knee on that ridiculous artificial turf?
In fairness to Etihad, that artificial or synthetic turf is at every ground, right, behind the goals, every ground.
Okay.
And it's on the interchange at every. I just had a phone call from Etihad in relation to some comments I made on radio.
Legal writ?
No, not at all. No, very mature and sensible conversations. It's pointing out to me that... Etihad's no different than the other grounds, and that should be pointed out. And they also do
Michael
tests.
Green?
Yeah, well, it's Michael Green. Oh, upstairs. That's fine. Yeah, Michael Green. They do tests where, say, when Daniel Menzel put his foot down, to me, to the layman, I would assume that there'd be more give in normal grass than there would be in synthetic.
Well, Denzel Menzel would know more than Green.
Michael tells me that is not the case, that they all grounds have to do that with the test. But I don't know, just common sense tells you synthetic wouldn't give as much as grass.
Why is it there? Is it just to save money?
To save money. Valley
of Death.
Obviously it gets worn out a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly expensive turf. So that's what it comes down to.
Why does it get worn out more there?
Because it's behind the goals, Hutto, because people go, there's more.
Yeah, but it's all around the whole ground, isn't it?
It's not every part of every ground, as I understand it. It's interchange, obviously.
It goes all the way around.
It's all the way around at Etihad it is. Yeah.
Would you knock Etihad down, Ando?
No, I wouldn't.
Hutto?
No, I don't think you'd knock it down.
Not having just spoken with Michael Green, had a good conversation about it.
You could renovate it, but why would you knock it down?
Because it's a dump. Absolute dump. Soulless, characterless dump.
I don't agree with that.
It's pretty handy on these 8-degree nights.
Oh, come on. There, then tough enough. You wore gloves in Tasmania.
Yeah, rightly so.
I don't agree with that, Mick. I think that's harsh.
Okay. I was just asking you what you thought.
I can't stand it. Fair enough.
Yeah, it doesn't have the atmosphere. I think what has made it look worse, in a way, is how good Adelaide Oval is. But they still had that history there to start with at Adelaide, and it's well positioned in the city, and it's part of the whole, you know, there's gardens all around it, and it doesn't have that. It's at the Docklands where it's windy and it's there's no soul there in the Docklands.
Could it have
been
designed and built better?
Yes, absolutely.
But so could therefore Waverley, as it was. We've had ask the baseball people if they go to that monstrosity.
That's the biggest disaster of all time. Every time I drive to Geelong, I think about that. You just see that turn off and you go, oh, the poor buggers.
And people come from overseas for the World Baseball Cup and they drive out there. Yeah. This is Melbourne. Yeah. Welcome to Melbourne. What a great city.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad area, but it's in a paddock.
It's a bad area where they put it because it's not any problem living out there, but just where they positioned it is the issue.
Carlton?
They were ripe, Mick.
Ripe.
They thought within that they'd been up for 5 or 6 weeks. They won 5 out of 6. They were very gettable, and they thought it was going to be the week before, sadly for me, when I was given that advice. I had something on the Brisbane. It's only because the Brisbane Lions were so hopeless that they were unable and too inept to take advantage of Carlton's lethargy, because Carlton, they're a young side, and you can't stay up all the time, and they were gettable, and St Kilda were quick enough to do it.
Jack Stephen was good, wasn't he?
Well, I was going to tip St Kilda, and my St Kilda supporting friends talked me out of it.
Oh, no Rewald, no McCartan.
Well, they said, oh, we're too young, whatever, but I thought, like you, Carlton were probably due, and I haven't got as big an issue with St Kilda as what a few other people have had about Alan Richardson. They went into the year knowing, I remember talking to them, saying, we could win the same amount of games as last year, but have a really important year this year.
I don't get this Alan Richardson. I look from afar and think he's doing a really good job.
Me too.
It's just those heavy losses against West Coast.
That comes with young clubs.
It does, yeah.
I remember going to Geelong years ago and Hawthorn got beaten by Geelong by a heap. No, sorry, the other way around. Hawthorn beat Geelong. It was a total upset. About 2005, 2006, an interview with the Hawthorn coach, a bloke called Alistair Clarkson. I said, isn't that great? He said, mate, there's going to be some rocky roads ahead of us before we get to where we want to go. Mm. And that's St Kilda at the moment.
Interesting. That was his third season that year.
Was that right? Yeah. You remember the game I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And it was Clarko's third year. Because, I was actually looking back. We were trying to find, we had a plane delay in Sydney. and we're at the airport and we're trying to work out, has there been a coach? It was Barry Hall, Jared Healy, myself,
at the
and
bar?
Lynchy. Yeah, we came back and we had a little mini bus. We drove it back. We listened to Finey on the way out. Right. So that was Hall. He goes, who's this Finey bloke? He was just smashing the callers, text messages.
Who is this Finey bloke?
It was very funny. but anyway, has there ever been a coach in Lepich's position that has actually survived?
Ooh.
And then gone on and been a success. So we sort of had a look back through Clarko, but 2 years.
Bomber Thompson.
Like 4 wins and 5 wins. Third year, they were making finals.
Yeah, Bomber Thompson in 2006.
Right, withdrawn.
Nothing like
withdrawn,
that.
But not withdrawn. Nothing like that.
No, you're right.
So has there been one?
Well, we couldn't find, I didn't extensively go through every single one, but we couldn't find anyone. Is he doomed?
You'd like to think not, but because I think the problems go a lot deeper than just the coach up there. But there is always that tipping point where you need a fresh start. So,
I was up there on Saturday, and you could walk around. I could have played golf down the corridor at quarter time. Seriously, like the corporate areas were just about.
They were
moved it nicely right to left, and it just curved around.
So they win their 3 flags. They get beaten in their 4th grand final in a row. The AFL says, right, we've got them right.
No, they take that allowance off them.
Yeah, let's not, we have to worry about them anymore. Yep. Take that away from them. Yep. And they've been forgotten, neglected.
Yep.
And the AFL treated them really, really poorly. No two ways about that. So you took about Andrew Demetriou, who had a legacy which was positive in a lot of areas. That ain't one.
He should carry
a large part of Brisbane, being a failure that is now.
And obviously hasn't been managed well by them up there either over the journey. But you're right in terms of...
The AFL has a say
but
in
even
who,
in
who
recent,
does that.
Even in recent years, I don't think they've taken enough action. Like, they were crying out 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm not sure they've done enough.
They're after a new facility at the airport. The AFL must do everything they can because their facility is the worst in the comp by a mile.
Yeah. CEO then
you get golden staff.
He's there because the AFL wanted him there.
Yeah.
Phil McLaughlin, and has a good relationship with Greg. Knows that he can do, he knows what to do, Greg, so hopefully he can get that right. But
give
him
the pick.
A long way to go.
Do you reckon Lee will? Yeah, I'd give him a pick.
I would.
If they've got a rule that gives it, give it. Yeah, there's an importance about the overall code with Brisbane, isn't there? To make sure that club comes back as a strong club.
The only problem is it pollutes the draft again.
Well, it's the whole problem. Mm.
The academies do that anyway.
It's the problem with our 18-team competition. And when you've got all these interstate or non-Victorian teams who are absolutely important part of the comp, but they've all, they're all seen as they all have to be going pretty well. It just ain't going to happen. There's always going to be one or two basket cases.
You know, Collingwood don't have a first-round pick. Gold Coast, I think, have got 6 picks inside 30. So this draft that we talk about this year, it's as compromised as any. Academy kids.
Yeah, that's the flow-through.
That'll stick around for another 5 years.
That's why I spoke to Scott Clayton the other day, who's the Gold Coast recruiting manager.
Mate, he'd be loving
it. So what's the draft like? He said, oh, mate, it's great. He was really talking up, Scotty. I'd forgotten that he had 6 in 30. Which is good.
And they've shown Gold Coast getting players back on the paddock that they're actually probably not the disaster we thought.
You saw what can happen with Lynch.
Yeah.
2 metre Peter. Yeah. Peter Wright.
And Gazza.
And Sam Day had one of his better games.
Not Rory Thompson, though.
No, not Rory Thompson.
Did you see that spray from Rocket?
No.
Oh, you've got to have a look at
one of his old.
Did you see?
We need a new Brian Lake.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was a ripper. In the press conference, he said, oh, no, Rory was no good today. Had to move him. Journo said that Rory was good, and the Rocket couldn't have disagreed more. It was quite entertaining.
But on Leper, you reckon Kurt and Zando, or
no, I'm not prepared to say that yet.
Yeah. Is that because of Lee or because of
Leper? I like solidarity, and if Greg Swan and Lee Matthews are very experienced football people backing, but if you keep losing by huge amounts, then there's no real hope is there for next year for the supporters, and we're selling hope. And you can't sell hope with that club.
How does their recruiting look right now of getting those players like your Tom Bell and Bastanac? Not so much Beams. He's a top-level player and he's been injured. But Bell and Bastanac.
Bastanac's been a major disappointment. I thought he's a lot better player than that.
Yeah.
Tom Bell, I think Tom Bell is what he is.
Yeah.
I don't like the expression, but you got what
Christensen.
Christensen can be a good player. He was in a good side probably previously. Yeah. He can still be a good player, Christensen.
Bit flighty.
Stephen Martin's been a really good pickup.
Yeah, but he's
gone off.
He's, whether it's that hit he copped or whatever, but he's a long way.
They've got
from
Shackey and Stay, and these kids.
Beams they haven't had at all.
No,
that hurts.
Really hurt him.
But they're still, probably. You look at Zorko's probably the only player that's really come through and come on in that last few years.
The rising star kid hasn't, has he?
No, he's gone back. And that's really damning. When you're looking,
Louis Taylor,
when you're trying to look at a coach and a coaching group and what they're doing, you like to say, well, you know, Brendan Bolton, the green shoots, you like to say, well, he's improving, he's improving. Mm. You can see a bit there. Now, you can see it in Shacky. It's just they're just going to have to wait a couple of years. But of their other players, they've been busy. They're boasting how they've re-signed 18 or 19 players, but they're re-signing players who I'm not even sure should be there.
Yeah, but they're not leaving like they were in the Voss. You lose Sam Doherty, you lose a potential
All-Australian player. Right now, he probably is All-Australian, isn't he, Sam Doherty?
I mean, just put those three players back in. Yeah. The players they picked up when they lost all those picks, there was Louis Taylor and then there was Gardner, Cutler.
Yep.
There's Robertson.
Cutler shows a bit.
They've all shown a bit, but we're just not, you know, Gardner's tough, but just not sure if any of them are going to come through, but it's a very, very tough period. What about the Dogs? They have shown the ability to overcome injury probably more than any team this year.
I'm barracking for the Dogs now.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't blame you. We talk about 8-point games, beating Port on the weekend with the injury that Footscray had. I think that was an 8-point game. I think it'd be towards the end of the year. Hopefully they make the top four where they can launch, because I don't think you win it from outside the top four, do you? History tells us not.
Does Tom Boyd get back in there, do you think?
Not the way Redpath played in the weekend.
Mm, can't have them both.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think that with the ruck set up now with Campbell and Roughhead, they've been so effective.
Yep.
So Tom Boyd comes back in, purely as a forward?
Well, Peter Gordon on, who took very unkindly to suggestions that he'd interfered in that trade and made him an error. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, yeah. I think it's a sensitive issue with the Bulldogs. There's no doubt about that.
The million-dollar sensitive
issue. I think Peter Gordon made a really good point in that interview, which got a little bit lost, is that they were well under the salary cap. Well under the salary cap. So
you go and spend $1 million on a guy that doesn't...
Well, no, obviously it appears like it was a bad decision, but not only were they... They've raised the extra money. The club, through a lot of the generosity of the best donors, have raised the extra money. So not only are they able to meet the salary cap now, the 100%, but they could actually go over because they banked under the banking rules where they were paying under. You can actually pay more going forward. So he would argue that it has not hurt the club and that they've signed their key players into the future and that they're well positioned.
When you say not hurting the club, what about when Tom Boyd walks into the change rooms and either plays an average game or not playing at all because of injury?
Yeah.
And the bloke sitting next to him is playing very, very well, and his name's, say, Tom Liberatore.
Hmm.
The bloke the other side is Luke Dalhouse. They're getting 400,000. Tom Boyd's getting $1 million. That hurts the club.
Yep.
Hawthorn has never had a player earning that sort of money, and they've had superstars. Geelong, even Dangerfield's getting now. Dangerfield, Selwood and Hawkins all on about the same amount of money because they have a pay structure.
Yeah.
Yep. And look, I understand that Tom Scully and the nonsense that went on up there with GWS.
Yeah.
But that sort of had to happen
extra
with Selwood
or
whatever. Or Israel Folau, whatever you like. This is a different, this is an established Melbourne club. And I think it hurts you enormously when you go out on a limb. I understand why they did it.
Mm. I thought it was wrong too, don't get me wrong.
I sort of admire...
It gave the Dogs fans hope at a time when their club looked just about down and out.
Yeah, but they paid too much.
They did pay too much,
You
no
don't
doubt.
Need to pay that much. I mean, would they have got him for... What would have been fair, Hutto? 600,000 a year?
Even that's paying for
Griffin as well?
Yeah, they did. I think that must end soon.
Did the president deny that he was hands-on in the trade, did he?
No, I think he denied that he did it on his own. He said you're being disrespectful to the other people involved.
We shouldn't have any involvement.
He can still be a good player. It can take 5 years.
And that's the other thing that Peter said is don't write him off yet. You know, he's a good young kid. He's taking a while, but don't write him off.
That's fair. I take
the one that hurts is Cramery. They could only have had him this year. Is that sort of medium size?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm on them. Tigers, I don't think can win it from here, so I'm going to have to go for the Dogs from now on.
I mean, it is exciting what the Dogs have, the way they play, and you talk about coaches, and I think the two coaches that are hurting people like Justin Lepich is Luke Beveridge, and also
look at the list he's got compared to Brisbane's.
No doubt,
it's just they've got Clay Smith in the VFL racking up 36. Dalrymple and
Brendan Bolton got a far better list than Brisbane.
I think he has list. Because of the maturity.
There's a lot of holes in Carlton's.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the thing with Bolton, what he's doing is he's getting the maximum out of that list.
They're an old list, though.
Are they going to keep going?
Compared to Brisbane.
They're going to fall away, aren't they, again, Carlton, for a little bit?
It's a good question. It's a good question is whether they will or they won't. But that
Carlton, they'll fall away massively this year.
Yeah.
They're going to win three more games for the year. That's not a bad result.
They'd take that, I reckon.
It's eight games. Yeah. Well, they'll be wrapped with that.
That's nine games.
Oh, they've done an outstanding job.
The recruiting policy of the Bulldogs, I reckon, is... Oh. Is fantastic.
Dalrymple and who's the other guy?
The
former Collingwood
North. Jason McCartney.
Sensational, those blokes.
To pick up Caleb Daniel, where
I love the Caleb Daniel story where Dalrymple was sitting down with the coach and he was going through his list and he said, "Now, this kid I really rate, but he's short." And the coach said, "Well, if he wasn't short, where would you pick him?" He goes, "Oh, top 10. He said, "Let's pick him."
Mm.
Height means nothing. And he's a 200 gamer.
I watched a kid in an under 18 game two years ago at Etihad.
Mm.
And he's best on ground.
Clearly best on ground.
Sort of like a danger field guy.
Yeah.
The thing about him was he won his own ball, so he's very good contested ball.
Clean.
But then his decision making was even at 90% on the weekend.
Yeah.
90% in a really hot game.
Yeah. Just pressure's those beautiful on inside. Short kicks.
He doesn't miss targets. Yeah. He's a ripper. And it's great to see a bloke of that size doing it. And good on the Bulldogs for giving him a chance.
Why did they pick him at 45? They waited too long, didn't they?
No one else rated him.
I think they picked Toby McLean ahead of him at 26, and he's been a good player as well. They've been helped, obviously, by three father sons, and you get two top 10 picks who they just nailed in Stringer and Bontempelli.
But, does Collingwood win the 2010 Premiership without Heath Shaw and Travis Clyde?
No.
Does Geelong win?
Let's not talk about father sons.
Gary Abbott.
Geelong doesn't win, I don't reckon, any of those flags without their father sons.
Mm.
Hawkins in 2011, 2007, Scarlett, Ablett, and 2009, obviously, Ablett and Scarlett again.
Ablett wasn't going to go early.
He wasn't that highly rated, was he?
Depends who you ask.
Or was he being hidden away?
He was always top 20. He's a top 10 player. I've heard that rubbish. No, I would. I've spoken with Stephen Wells, who's a very sane, modest, lucid person, and Wellesley would have thought he would have been round about first round.
How many games into his career did you say Gary Ablett Jr., yep, he's a freak show?
Freak show? When I saw the ball go down to the boundary line three times in a quarter at Geelong in his first six games, and everyone thought the ball was going over the boundary line, it was never dead when it was in Gary's area.
Ah.
He kept it alive and then did something really smart.
So you knew early.
I knew he was. Then I knew, hang on, this guy's going to be a good footballer. I didn't know he was going to go to the midfield and become the best player in the competition, no.
Just to finish off, West Coast, before we just look ahead to next week, West Coast and Adelaide, just how big a loss is Nick Nanunui? And what is going wrong with the Eagles and how good are the Crows probably more?
Well, he goes to the ruck for West Coast. They got Callum Sinclair's gone to Sydney. Scott Lysaed played like a bastard on the weekend.
He's been all right this
year. He's been okay this year.
Yeah, he was terrible on the weekend. And he's got to now stand up and do it. They've got to find a bloke to help
him. No one can replace Nick Nat, let's face it.
No, I think it's really knocked them around, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're gone?
Pretty much.
A premiership? Yeah.
What about the Crows? Can they win it?
No.
Why not?
I think they're a gun player short in their midfield.
In their midfield, yeah. That's
what's his name? Dangerwood.
Well, yeah, fair enough. I really admire their midfielders, and they've all got that hard work ethic, and they run.
When's Dean Gore getting a game?
Oh, I don't know.
They've hardly had any injury.
I've had to wipe my hands of
Menzel. What about Menzel? What's going on?
No, he's just taking his time for them to get him right. But they've hardly had an injury, the Adelaide Crows. They've been the fittest team in terms of injury all year.
Brad
Crouch. That's, he had a few injury problems, but he can't get a game. Yeah. So
Sloane's a gun. He's a Brownlow smoky.
Yeah, they like him, and so they should. To give him some votes. Just quickly looking ahead.
You never mentioned Richmond at all,
had I? Or Don Pike. We never talk about Don Pike, do we?
I still don't know what he looks like.
Do you see the way you mentioned Richmond and he changed the topic again straight away?
Tigers.
No, irrelevant.
We talked about Dustin Martin.
The Tigers on the weekend, the supporters.
Wasn't a bad game.
You're one of them, Mick, and Al Payton's another one. Really down in the mouth about it. And my neighbour, Willie Walford. I didn't think so. I quite enjoyed the game.
For Richmond people. It's a very depressing state of affairs.
I think you're selling yourself short. I think Gold Coast were
better.
Gold Coast had their best week. There was quite a bit of optimism coming out of the Gold Coast going into the game. I know Lynchy tipped them, and he said he'd heard that they had the best week they've had on the track all year, and so they were quite optimistic going in.
If we beat Brisbane, maybe then I'll start to reassess top eight. next game's against
Brisbane.
Just
looking ahead to round 13, just Kangaroos. Wayne Carey talked about, apparently on Monday night, about do they almost forfeit the game? Not forfeit, but you know what I mean? Not just take no chances on your injured players, knowing that you're probably going to lose anyway. With the bye coming up, anyone who's anything dodgy, just don't.
Well, that's
don't
like play. Rebuilding. Like, it's a ridiculous comment. You go out and try and win every game, don't
and
you?
And it hurts your psyche of your club, of your players. I don't understand that. No. Wayne's played a few more games, though.
He's probably knows more than we do.
I respect his view on it.
I didn't actually see him say it. Someone told me that he said it, so I don't want to.
I just surprised me.
He said, "Don't take a risk." Absolutely, yeah. But I don't think they're going to go in and try not to win every week.
Monday mornings. I didn't get that feeling from Boomer yesterday morning. He was very up for the game.
And I think they're a chance to beat Hawthorn, but they lose all those players, it's going to be hard.
Well, I don't know where they sit with Swallows going to play, from what Boomer told me.
And Cunnington will play with the Cork of the Century.
Cork is normally
they're annoying.
You would get up.
Yeah, but that's bleed, Steve Saunders. He's probably already running 100 metre sprints with that Saunders bloke down there.
Yeah, there's going to be a bit. Who's the Hawthorn tall defenders? Frawley? Stratton will play tall.
North's tallest forwards have dropped right off
shocking.
The pace. Yeah.
There'll be massive pressure on
Jared Wade hasn't kicked a goal for 3 weeks.
That's winter. Winter is coming.
Well, they
make
well,
a call,
cool.
Well,
no, well,
and
still
drop, play door and drop one of those.
Knock that joint down.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. He's not really a forward, though, is he? Door.
Where else do you play? Because Goldsack, I mean, how do you play the pair of them? Goldsack go forward.
Goldstein, yeah.
They could fall out of the top four in the next 3 weeks.
Northcote.
Quite
they've
easily. They've got Adelaide, Hawthorn, West Coast.
And West Coast
and West Coast.
Perth.
Oh, yeah. And Hawthorn. So let's say they lose four in a row and they're outside the top four. And they're all in this year. Ooh.
Just quickly then to finish, who wins the other two big games? The Dogs and the Cats, and the Swans at home to the Demons.
Where's the Dogs game at?
Etihad.
Is that your home game?
No, it's theirs.
Eastern Wood doesn't play? No. Dalhouse doesn't play?
No, Dalhouse doesn't play.
It depends how Dangerwood goes, really.
Hawkins comes back. Yeah, I'll go Geelong.
Yeah, what a surprise. And Sydney, Sydney and Melbourne?
That's in Sydney.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
coming
Sydney.
Off a loss.
Yeah.
Sydney will bash them up.
I think Sydney.
All right. Well done, boys. Been good to have you in again, Ando. More Cat talk next week if Ando's back. Otherwise, we'll have to mention the Blues, probably.
No, I've got Cats
radio. Get the bye
next Monday.
We get the bye, don't we? When's the podcast bye?
For me, it's the week after next. I'll be sunning myself.
Really? You're going away?
I'm going away for a week. For a few days. First
can
time.
I host?
You can, yep.
Awesome. Nick, this is the chance.
Yes.
You get the big dollars. You've been after me extra money, have you?
I wouldn't mind getting paid for this like Hutto does.
Oh, yeah. You could just retire on the income, I can tell you. That's it for the Super Footy podcast. Thank you to Mick and Sam when he's here next week. Thank you. I'm ready for a script, obviously. Thank you to Mick and Ando. You can find us every Monday afternoon on the Herald Sun website, iTunes and SoundCloud. Should subscribe via iTunes. If you like the podcast, give us a review. That'll help other people find the show. For all your footy news, and don't be afraid to go and see Mick at the ground either and give him some feedback too if you like the podcast.
We'll give it
just
to
check
him.
Too. Wayne Carey. Carey didn't say anything like you said
what
that
did
he did.
Say? I
just
think
checked.
He would say that, actually,
no,
Wayne Carey.
No, he just said you don't risk players
okay, that's what
at a 50-50. You didn't say they're going to
not throw the game.
I didn't say that.
Sorry, Duck.
I might go and edit that bit out.
No, keep it in there.
For all your footy news, follow Superfooty on Twitter and use the hashtag SuperFootyPod to get involved with comments or questions ahead of next week's episode. That's it for today. Catch you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.